This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we thank you for the gift of your love. We thank you for the privilege of being called your children. Children that you love so much that you wanted to save us from ourselves. So you sent your son into this world to bear the weight of our sin, to take the consequences of our choices, oh God. That's what your love looks like. Unfailing, unconditional, relentless. You are constantly chasing after us. Your word says that your goodness and mercy will follow us. Some translations, chase us down all the days of our lives. God, so we thank you for that kind of love that comes looking for us. We thank you for the kind of love that you planted in us that makes us want to help others come looking for you. God, bless us to be vessels of your love. Bless us not to be hoarders, those that take on your love and just keep it for ourselves, but help us to be sharers of your love all over this world. God, we pray for those who need to know your love, those who sit in high places of power, those who are humble, lowly, vulnerable, oh God, this day. All people need to experience the freedom, the power of your love. God, we pray for peace in this world. We pray that simply loving one another might be able to bring peace on earth, particularly in the Ukraine today. God, bless your children all over the land that stand in need of prayer, that stand in need of love for whatever reason. Bless God like only you can, and empower us to be your blessings, your agents of love in this world. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Lord, I love you more than anything. The Bible says, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We're reading from John, the 15th chapter, starting with verse 9. John 15, beginning with verse 9. And the Word of God reads, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you, oh God. We pray that you just continue to have your way in this space. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart are acceptable and pleasing in your sight, oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, we have had quite a soundtrack this month as we explored the theme, This is How We Know What Love Is. You were invited to answer When Love Calls on the first Sunday. And after worship, our esteemed drummer told me, Pastor, you do know love is the key. And we heard that preached last week by Vernon. I don't know if James whispered it to him too, or if that was just the Holy Spirit that whispered the words, love is the key. And this week as we reflected, I reflected on our text from John 15. Some say that a preacher should always be preparing a message with the Bible and the newspaper in hand. And so as I read the word of God with wars and rumors of wars in the background, as I read God's word with news of death and destruction locally and abroad, as I read the word with news about fights in our own homes and in the streets around us, I was reminded how desperately we need to stay in love. That's our topic today, stay in love. Now, not the Al Green, let's stay together kind of love, but let's stay together as Jesus taught us when he said, remain in me, in my love, abide in me, and I will abide in you. In times of chaos, from coronavirus to corrupt leadership, Jesus says, stay in love. No, you don't have to love what they do. You don't love their harmful ways, but I command you to continue to act out of God's love. You continue to operate in love. Loving folks, whether times are good or bad, happy or sad, maybe there is a little room for Reverend Al up in here. Friends, these are some happy and sad times, some ugly, beautiful times, and our call still remains the same, to operate in love. And this week, this is how we know what love is. Families choosing to separate for the sake of safety. Fathers saying goodbye to their children, perhaps never knowing if they will see them again as they stay behind to fight a war, unprovoked, unnecessary, unjust war. In the first day of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, more than 100,000 people walked across the border into Poland. Now, if you're struggling to understand what that has to do with the text today or what that has to do with Jesus at all, I'll just remind you that Jesus was born a refugee. Jesus was born to parents who were walking across a border to flee political corruption. A leader who didn't govern on behalf of the people sent forth an edict that invaded Jesus's homeland. He ain't never have to go himself, but just those words were enough. Searching for all the firstborn males so that they could be put to death. Using the premise of a census, I just need to count the people, a routine political exercise. You may have heard those words in recent weeks. The whole reason Mary and Joseph are on the road in our Christmas story, the whole reason we get that little plot twist of no room in the inn, because you just knew he made some reservations, right? The whole reason the lamb who was slain was born in a manger, in a stinky stable. The whole reason that the one who took off divinity to put on humanity was born in those lowly conditions was because someone else had no respect for humanity. Friends, and that same Savior, that lamb who takes away the sins of the world, that meek and humble lamb who never said a mumbling word as he died for us, that same lamb is also considered the lion of the tribe of Judah. In other words, that lamb is considered the strongest of the strong, a mighty warrior. And the Bible says that our weapons of warfare, the way we fight wars with this King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the way we fight alongside him, our weapons are not carnal, the word says, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I don't know if anything ever had a hold on you, ever had a hold on your family, on your life, on your future, maybe. Then you'd hear those words differently if you ever been held captive by something, even if just in your mind and your heart. So our weapons are not carnal, are not physical, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are not the weapons of the world, some translations say. They are not the strength and power of our own flesh and blood bodies. They are not even physical weapons at all. But the word says they are divinely powerful. Can you think of a weapon more divinely powerful than love? It is, after all, the weapon that God chose to redeem us from sin and death, the weapon God used to save us from sin and sin's consequences. The word says, for God so loved the world, not God so controlled the world, not God so wanted the world to fear him, but God so loved the world. And Jesus reminds us throughout the Gospels of the power of love. But in one of today's key verses, John 15, verses 34, 35, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Friends, I've told you before, in the years after Christ died, even the first few hundred years of the Christian church, Christians were called followers of the way, followers of the way of Christ. No one went around and said, I'm a Christian. But instead, the name Christian was given to the community by those outside of the way who were watching how these folks lived and how these folks loved. When folks watch us, what do they call us? When folks watch us individually and as a collective, what do they say about First United Methodist Church? These folks were watching them. And so we learned that we not only profess belief in Christ with our mouths, but more importantly, with how we move throughout the world. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, not by what you say, but if you love one another, not by your Facebook posts, but if you love one another, that's how they'll all know that you are mine. They will know who you are if you operate in love. And the key to that, Christ says, is let's stay together. Let's stay in love. As the Father loved me, I love you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commands, that's how I know you're with me. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. Friends, what does it look like for you to remain in Christ's love today? Whose words, whose little comment will you have to ignore this week if you're going to remain in love? What cause, what movement will you need to give yourself more fully to? What need will you have to respond to if you choose to remain in love? What will you do? And what will you refrain from doing to prove that you love God? Jesus says remaining in his love empowers us to love other people well. I wonder if you can see the connection in your life. When you're devoted to your discipleship, your worship, your prayer, your study, your giving, your serving, are things better with those around you who you love? And when you slip a little bit in your discipleship, when you know you're not prayed up, when you ain't read none of them little one-minute devotions that you download or the little book that sits in your kitchen nook, when you slip a little in your discipleship, how does that impact your ability to love other people well? I don't know about you, but I'm mighty agitated if I ain't been praying. I don't know how long a fuse supposed to be. But mine is short if I haven't made time to spend time with God. What will you do? What will you refrain from doing this week to prove your love? More than 100,000 people have walked into Poland from Ukraine to seek safety and freedom. But what was really interesting to see on the news is the line of people waiting to enter Ukraine. Those ready to walk into Ukraine from, into the Ukraine from Poland. They were citizens working abroad who are answering the call to come home to fight for safety and freedom with the Ukraine army. These are civilian teachers and designers, chefs and students, aged 16 to 60, answering the call to fight for the love of their country. Verse 13, Jesus says, greater love has no one than to lay down their life for a friend. Most of us will probably never have an opportunity or a need to go in and line up like these men have. But Jesus says, you, my friend, you're doing the right thing if you keep my commands. Yes, he's talking about the Big Ten list, but he's also talking about those top two. What's the greatest command, Lord? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, I wonder if we have enlisted in the army today to love our neighbors. I wonder if we have signed up to fight hate with love. Have we taken up our weapon this morning, our divinely powerful weapon of love? Because I know you know that the only war happening in this world is not just in Ukraine today. Peter says it this way. 1 Peter verse 5, chapter 5, verse 8 says it this way. Be alert and of sober mind, clear mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for somebody to devour. The enemy is always trying to wage war. The enemies of God are constantly waging war. And I wonder, are we ready to stay in love? Not loving what they do, not loving how the enemy attacks us, but stay in love, ready to operate in God's love at all times, no matter what the devil is doing. Are we ready to remain in God's love as we fight? I wonder if you have that old war hymn in your heart. Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. You've been building your kingdom all over this land, and Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. The song says the preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. The teachers among us are gonna teach your kingdom down, and then it gets good because you know it ain't nothing like a praying mama. The song says the mothers are gonna pray your kingdom down. The fathers are gonna pray your kingdom down. You've been building your kingdom all over God's house, and Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Friends, I believe the text this morning invites us to ad-lib a little bit and say, Satan, we're gonna love your kingdom down. How you do that, Pastor? It means that we shout the love of God to everyone that Satan is whispering lies to. We get loud in their ear while the enemy is trying to sneak in a word. It means that we're gonna reach out to people who the enemy would like to make believe that they are alone in this world. To love Satan's kingdom down, it means that we are feeding bread and bread of life to somebody. We're offering living water and a listening ear to somebody. To love Satan's kingdom down means that we flip the light switch on for those who are languishing in darkness. Friends, and how many of you know that it's time out for merely defending the faith? It's time out for just trying to hold on to the little bit of territory that we have in Jesus' name. But it's time for us to line up. It's time for us to go on the offense and take new territory in Jesus' name. It's time for us to suit up, to put on the whole armor of God and go to battle with our divinely powerful weapon of love. Love that can tear down strongholds. You're gonna need some weapons today. You're gonna need some weapons today. That political, that what did he call it? Just standard exercise, whatever. Those standard exercises that was building up the weaponry. I don't know if you've been doing your exercise to make sure your arsenal of weapons is on point, because you're gonna need to take up some prayer if you're going into war. I don't just mean this pray for me, somebody pray for me, getting your name on a list somewhere. I mean getting yourself on your knees somewhere for yourself. You're gonna need to learn to take up prayer if you're gonna war with the enemies of God. You're gonna need some praise in your mouth, even when you don't feel like it, even when it doesn't look like it yet. You're gonna need some praise in your mouth that says, Lord, I trust you in advance, so I'm ready to advance in your name. Friends, please, don't go into war without your belt of truth, without knowing what's real and what ain't real, without knowing the truth, the difference between what the enemy say and what the Lord says. Don't go into war without your belt of truth, without your breastplate of righteousness, without upholding that shield of faith. Paul tells us also in Ephesians that we're gonna need a helmet of salvation, and we're gonna need a sword of the Spirit, which he says is the word of God. For the love of God, please do not try to go into battle with the enemies of God without knowing the word of God. Because God's enemies know the word and can quote it back to you, can speak it to you. So do not try to go to battle without knowing the word for yourself. Do not try to take on powers and principalities without knowing what thus saith the Lord. Don't try to get into it with spiritual forces of this world without knowing what the name that is above all names, because they got a name too, but without knowing what the name that is above all names has to say. Friends, once we're dressed, once we're ready for battle, there's one more thing we have to put on. I don't know what your last thing is that you put on when you get dressed for the day. It might be your watch, your favorite earrings, maybe a little lip gloss, ladies, a little spritz of perfume or cologne before you head out the door. I don't know what your last thing is. But Paul tells us in Colossians 3, above all these things, all these virtues, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Put on love. That makes sense since we know that love is the key. That makes sense if we want to answer Christ's call to stay in love. The word says above all these things, put on love. That's how folks will know that we're disciples, because we look and sound like love, because our actions reflect love back to them. They'll know that we're disciples because we don't just talk love, we walk love. Way back in the day, a songwriter told us that what the world needs now, what the world needs, is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Friends, I agree, but you know I like to add to it. I like to mix it up a little bit. I don't think that the world just needs our sweet love. The world needs our justice-seeking love. The world needs our peace-keeping love. The world needs our fight-the-power love. The world needs our hard-working love. And that's what came to mind for me when I read this poem this week by Ann Weems. It's called I No Longer Pray for Peace. Because, you know, far too often, all we have to offer is our thoughts and prayers. If that's really all we got to give, then bless the Lord. Give it. But sometimes there's more in us. Sometimes there's more that can be done than thoughts and prayers. So here we are contemplating this. I no longer pray for peace. On the edge of war, one foot already in, I no longer pray for peace, I pray for miracles. I pray that stone hearts will turn to tenderheartedness, and evil intentions will turn to mercifulness, and all the soldiers already deployed will be snatched out of harm's way, and the whole world will be astounded to its knees. I pray that all the God talk will take bones and stand up and shed its cloak of faithlessness and walk again in its powerful truth. I pray that the whole world might sit down together and share its bread and its wine. Some say there is no hope, but then I've always applauded the holy fools who never seem to give up on the scandalousness of our faith. That is, that we are loved by God, and that we can truly love one another. I no longer pray for peace. I pray for miracles. Friends, I am praying for miracles today, and I am praying for the miracle of love, praying as Jesus said in John 15, 16 through 17, that we would go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. Christ said we were chosen and called for that purpose. And as much as we might like to think that in our goodness we choose the way of God, the way of Christ, that we've committed ourselves to Christ, Jesus says, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you. Now, truth be told, I almost skipped that part of the text today. In my first readings of it, I say that don't even connect to the other love stuff. That's one of those verses that just feel like it's dropped down in there out of place. But the more I sat with it, I realized that in the midst of this love chapter, Jesus starts talking about our calling, almost as if our ultimate calling is love. Jesus starts talking about our calling, starts speaking about the fruit that comes forth when we live out our calling. And so I wonder, how is God calling you to love today? And I wonder, what would be the fruit if you truly decided to live out your yes to that calling? Perhaps peace might one day be a fruit of our love, or maybe ending hunger and homelessness could be a fruit of our love. It might be possible that liberty and justice for all could be a fruit of love on this 10th anniversary of the murder of Trayvon Martin. What else? What other miracles might be possible if we decide to stay in love today? And yes, I know, love is complicated, as our Facebook status options offer us. It's complicated, I know. I read the perfect response to that feeling of complication earlier this week. It says, there is no perfect life, no perfect job, no perfect childhood, no perfect marriage, and no perfect set of people who will always do exactly what we expect them to do. What we have is a perfect God who is able to lead us through this imperfect life with unfailing strength, incomparable wisdom, and infinite love. Infinite love. Divinely powerful love. Soul-saving, world-changing love. What miracles will be possible if we decide to stay in love? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.